Good morning. So is winter back? Is that? Yeah. I'm guessing that given everything that's going on outside, that this would be one day when no one will complain if the sermon goes really long. Am I right on that? Okay, I thought so. Just kidding. All right, why don't we pray, and then we'll read our Bibles together. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that we could come together and have a place with a roof, and especially on days like today, we realize how blessed we are to have places where to go to and to sleep in and to eat in, and thank you. So God, I pray that as we open your word that you would remind us as we read what you've written, that you've inspired to be written for us, that you would remind us as we read how much you love us and how much you care for us, and everything you tell us is for our good. And I pray that you would soften our hearts to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so flip over to Colossians chapter 3. We've been going through Colossians, the second half of Colossians, asking the same question we asked in the first half of Colossians, which is, what does it look like to be a Christian, a Christ follower? What is someone who says, I'm a Christian, what does that look like? And so for the first half of the book, we saw, okay, that means that you're transformed. We looked at what it means to receive God's grace. In the second half of the book, we've been seeing some really, some kind of difficult things that God has said, okay, here's what it means. If you're my child, this is how you live. This is what you do, and this is what you don't do. And here today we're going to look at a text that tells us that has to do with, well, how impossible it could seem sometimes to obey the stuff that God says that his children do and don't do. And this is going to be helpful for us, I think, because when things are impossible, when we don't know how things work, isn't that frustrating? You know, when you don't know how something is supposed to work or something seems impossible, it's just like, what do I do with this? We pull our hair out, you know, we get frustrated. We don't like it when we don't know how things work and how to make stuff work. Isn't that, okay, if you're a car person, just ignore this. This isn't for you. But if you're not a car person, isn't that why it's just the cars are the most frustrating thing in the world? It's like, it's either works great or I need a new one, because when it's not working, it's like, I have a beater car that I drive around for errands until it dies someday. I'm going to keep driving it. The heater and the whole air conditioning, everything that has to do with the air coming out, whether it's hot or cold air. See, I don't know what, but all of that, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And I don't know if it's going to work or not until I actually turn it on. And sometimes I don't turn it on until I'm driving down the street and I've already left it. So now the windows are fogging up. And so I tell the boys, I know it's raining outside, but just roll the windows down because we can't get in a wreck. And I don't know what's wrong. Something in there, I got to take it to the guy and he'll fix it. But that's what's frustrating about stuff we don't understand. Because I know it's supposed to work and I don't get it. Okay, so yesterday, I think this is where this idea popped in my mind and the connection came from our text and stuff we don't understand and stuff that seems impossible. It's like, how is that supposed to work? So I'm redoing the stairs, and I already did the fun part. I took the carpet off. That was fun. The whole deconstruction stuff. Now I have to put it back together. And there's two ways to do it. You can either, with stairs, you can either, if you're not doing the carpeting, you can either buy this stuff that just fits perfectly and has the edges and everything and it looks just beautiful. But that's really expensive. Or you could do it the do-it-yourself way and just like make stuff that's not for stairs, you know, work on stairs and cut it right and everything. And that's the route I went. The other one was way too expensive. There's no way. So I went that route, and it's going to be really cool. Except last night, I finally got the first one done, and then there was this really big gap, and it's right where your eyes are going to be when you're walking in. So everyone will see this. Like, it couldn't be. There was a big gap, and then there was another piece where there was like, you just see the wood underneath, and then. So I started getting that frustration when you don't know how something is going to work. And it's not going to work, and it looks kind of impossible, and you're like, oh, it's going to have to, what do we do? And we start, you know, thinking about, it's like, how can I make that work, and how can I make it work? And then if we can't figure it out, what do we do?
well, I guess I'm just not going to do that. We just, you know, throw in the towel and say, yeah, I can't figure that out. Buy a new car, just they can't make it work. And when we read some of the stuff that we've been reading in Colossians, if you're a living human being with a pulse, some of it has to hit you just as, this is impossible. God asks his children to do stuff. I can't figure it out. Maybe I can figure out how to make the stairs work. I can't figure out how to make this work in here. I can't do what God is asking. So, okay, I'll go back to church next week and we'll hear another one that I'm not going to be able to do. I can't figure out how to make this work. It doesn't work. How impossible is it that I'm supposed to be like Jesus? How is it? There's no way this can work. Look at Colossians 3 verse 5. All the stuff he lists in there that is just put to death, and then, so anything that's sexually impure, that's thoughts. Jesus clarifies that if there's any question. That's thoughts. That's what we look at. That's everything. Any kind of sexual impurity, any kind of impurity like coming out of us, like words or gossip or anything that comes out of us that's not pure and good and, you know, wanting revenge, that kind of, anything like that, uncontrolled emotions. You know, when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, if you were here, did that part land on you and be like, I don't know how that works. If I'm supposed to not have uncontrolled emotions like worry and stress and bitterness and all of that in me, how that doesn't work. There's no way I can just stop that. Evil desires, avarice, you know that one, the fun one, the wanting and buying stuff that you don't need. I can't not do that completely. Look at verse 8. Put away all anger and wrath and malice and obscene talk from your mouth. All anger. I say, all anger? Is there any way that I could just rewrite a little tiny part of that? Because I don't get how that can work in here. How do I put away all anger or then drop down to last week's? And the fact that we're all here again for another week of this after last week's, it's that's saying something. Look at last week's. Do not lie to one another. So complete honesty. Little white, helpful, I have to. No, none of that. Just complete honesty. How does that work in here? How do I be completely? Did you run into that this week? Like stuff coming out of your mouth, you're like, that's not completely honest. How can I be completely honest? That doesn't work. That's an impossible task. These are just impossible things to completely do. And the part of this are the completely total words, like do not lie, like any dishonesty, or put away all anger, or put to death what is earthly in you. So everything, the absolute, the total words, I can't do that. So what are yours? If you're a living human being with a pulse, one of these had to have landed on you, and you're like, okay, I get the other stuff, and I can kind of do that, but this one I can't do. I don't see how that works in me. Maybe it's one of the ones that we've already read. Maybe it's one of the ones that's coming up, because if you've read ahead, there's even harder stuff coming up, depending on, you know, how you're wired. There's some really hard stuff coming up, and maybe it's not what the ones we read, but what are yours? What are the things that when you read the Bible, even just third chapter of Colossians, that you say, I can't do that. I don't know how that's supposed to work in me. I don't get how that all joins together and gets perfectly covered up, and I don't get it. And so we get overwhelmed and frustrated, and I can't stop this. So what do I do? Well, what do we do when stuff is impossible? We kind of throw in the towel and pretend, right? We were walking through Menards last night trying to think through how are we going to do the stair thing, and we said, well, let's just paint. Let's just paint. It's not pretty, but it'll cover it up. So we paint. We come in on Sundays, and I'm a good Christian because I dress the part and have the thing and do the stuff. But underneath, there's that part of me that I don't get how that's going to ever be different in me. How is that going to be different? We just kind of give up on the battle, and then we read the Bible and listen to another sermon and say, well, that's one more thing I'm not going to completely be able to obey. there's hope. And in the middle of this, God gives us hope. He introduces hope into this scenario of asking us to do stuff that's impossible. And he tells us, you can, and you should, you have to, but you're going to be able to do it. And, okay, I'm sorry, as we're talking about hope and being able to do this stuff, I know you're thinking, what happened with your stairs? We figured it out. We figured it out. We went to Menards. Everything could be figured out. Home Depot, Menards, you can figure it out. God gives us hope here for how to do the stuff that he's asking us to do. Look at verse 9 and 10, where there's a theme that goes through this. So we're going to jump around a bit, but go through verse 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. And then look, jump down to verse 12. Put on then, and then verse 14, and above all these, put on. I know we're skipping words there. We'll come back, don't worry, on another day. But see the theme going through there? You've put off, you've put on, now put on. This is hope in the middle of asking us to do impossible things. He's telling us how to do it. This is the answer to how do I do that. That's why it starts out, look at verse 9 again. Do not lie to one another. You immediately say, well, how do I not do that? And then he says, seeing that, so he's saying, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you do that command. And by implication, all the rest of these that I've stuck this in the middle of, this is how you obey this. So he's giving us hope. And what the big idea from this text is, and we'll see it as we go through these verses, is God's children are transformed by God so they can and should and have to live as transformed people. We're transformed by God, and that means we're able to live like people who are transformed. That's how it works. You're transformed by God, and so you can live as a person who is completely transformed. You're made different on the inside by God. God sees you as different. He said, you are this. And then that the fact that he's made you this gives you the ability to live like this and the hope that, yes, I can actually live like this because God's already made me this. So if he's already made me this, of course I can live like this. That's the logic. Look in verse 9 again. Seeing that you have put off your old self. That's past tense. And when I first read through this and kind of just put the ideas in a bucket, it was a couple weeks ago, I thought this was a future tense thing. But then I went back and read it this week on Monday. I was like, wait a second, that's a past tense thing. The reason God says that we can and should live like transformed people is because he says, I've already transformed you. If you're my child, if you've repented and been baptized and given yourself to me and surrendered to me, I've transformed you. I've taken off. He says, you have put off your old self. You've taken something off. When you change clothes and you take off the old stuff and then you put on the new stuff. That's what he's saying. You've taken, that's already happened. And what's this thing that's been taken off? He says, your old self, the old man, the old person, the person you were before you knew Christ. So if you're a Christian, this is who you were before. If you're still not a Christian, this is who you are now. He's saying when you become a Christian, this gets taken off of you. It gets stripped away. You've taken it off and oh, didn't even think about this, but the stair analogy, it's perfect. Took the carpet off. And then I'm going to put something else over the top of it. See how that it just works, right? You've taken off the old person, and then you're going to, well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Put on the new person, but he says you've taken off that old person with its old practices or with its bad habits would be another way of translating that, of saying that. The ruts that you were in before, the way that when I read these verses. And this is what was, as I was thinking about this week, this is what was clicking as I was looking at my life and it was, and this verse is always happens whenever I, you know, I'm thinking about a section of scripture, that then it starts, inevitably the Spirit starts, you know, taking what I'm living that week and mashing it up together and saying, this is what this is supposed to solve. And so I'm looking at my life and some struggles I'm having and then it dawns on me as I'm thinking about this, that the Spirit says, makes me realize, okay, wait a second. These are old habits. Because in my mind, I was saying, I've always done this. I've always been this way. I've always lived this way. This is just the way I am. And then it clicked. It was, those are the old habits. And God says, those have been put off. I've transformed you. I've taken off those. Yeah, you always have been this way. You've always had these habits. You've always gone down these paths. That's not who I've made you. I've transformed you just because you always have been that. So if you read the thing about, you know, put away all anger, well, I get angry. Well, yeah, those are the old habits. Those are the old practices of the old person. And God says, remember, everything we looked at in the first two chapters, I've made you new. I've transformed you. I've taken those off. I've taken off those old desires. I have stripped those away, but it doesn't feel like they've been stripped away. I still feel like those are the habits and the desires. And so in the middle of this, God says, even though you don't feel it, it's true. If you're my child, I've stripped those away. I've taken off who you used to be. And then look at verse 10. And I've put on the new self. Again, look at the verb. It's past tense. That means it has already happened. If you are a Christian like these people were, the people reading this, this has already happened to you. You have, God has taken off the old. He's put on the new. He's put on the new self. He's just like you take off the clothes and you put on new clothes. You've taken it off. A new identity has been assumed. The new thing has been put on. And what is that new person? I put on the new self. Put on the new person, the new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new, he is. She is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. It's the new person, the new desires. This person who's full of the Spirit with the conviction that the Spirit brings and the power to change that the Spirit brings. A person who is now a beloved child of God who has been forgiven, who is free from condemnation. A new person who is covered by the blood of Christ and the forgiveness that that brings. The old has been taken off. And the new has been put on. He says, if this seems impossible to live this way, remember who you are. You are a transformed person. You are a different person. So you not only should, but you can live like a transformed person because you are transformed. You are different if you're in Christ. You are different than you used to be. And even though everything in you is crying out to be like the old person, says, that's not who you are. You're changed. You're transformed. So then you can live like a new person, which is why he pivots in verse 10 immediately and says, having put on the new self, you're transformed. And what is that new self? It's being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. It's being renewed. That's the ongoing thing. That's the, you can live like a new person because you have been transformed and the new person is being renewed. It's being changed. So if you and I read this stuff that Paul says, this is how God's children live. Never lie. Never say anything dishonest. I can't do that. Well, the old person couldn't. The old person had habits that wouldn't let him do that. But the new person can. And the new person is being renewed. And the old new person can little by little strip away that outcoming dishonesty and live like a new person and be completely honest. It's being renewed. It's this continual progressive. Until we see Jesus, we will never be completely who we should be. But he says, inside you are, I've made you that. And on the outside, you're continually being changed. And you are to continually keep changing. It's like an ongoing project. You know, you get done with the project, I'm done with that. This whole becoming the people that we actually are on the inside, becoming that on the outside, that's an ongoing project. You can never put, you know, the little check mark on, I'm done with that. You're being changed. You're being renewed. He said, being renewed in knowledge. So towards something. There's something that we're going towards. You're being renewed after something. There's a goal in this renewal. There's a goal in this external transformation. And he said it's knowledge. It's having a true knowledge. You're being renewed towards this knowledge of this is who I am now. This is who I was. This is who I am. And this is who I am on the inside. This is who God sees me as. And this is who I should be on the outside. And as we read the Bible, that knowledge grows and I'm being renewed. And as I read, my mind is being transformed. And then what I do is being transformed on the outside. We're being renewed in knowledge. And look at what it says, after the image of its creator, or according to the image of its creator. This is the coolest thing. You say, you're being renewed, you're transformed on the inside, and then that gives you the ability and to say, okay, now I can just continually be changing, being renewing myself on the outside according to the image of my creator. What does that mean? It's to be more like Jesus. I'm supposed to be more and more like Christ on the outside, because on the inside, God said, I've given you my perfection. I've made you perfect in my eyes. Now live like that. Live like the person that I've made you to be. Live like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Have Jesus's images. I'm sorry, Jesus' emotions. So when Jesus never had ungodly wrath or depression or stress or bitterness against the people who, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We should be like Jesus. We should be transformed more and more like him, and let our bitterness go away, and let our stress and worry go away, and trust in him, and have peace and happiness and love and self-control be the emotions that define us, like they defined him in our thought lives. We get obsessed with our own desires and what I want and my goals, and we should think in what Jesus thought about. What did Jesus think about? Don't you know that I must be about the business of my Father, bringing his kingdom here? In his words, we should turn away from lying and gossip and yelling and negative stuff and complaining. Why? Because it's bad? Well, yeah, but because that's not the way Jesus spoke. He, when he spoke, he confronted people and he guided people and he loved people and he built people up. We should talk like Jesus talked. We should be renewed to the image of what Jesus was, so that we're more like him in our actions. That's why we should turn away from sexual impurity and avarice, wanting more than we need, and laziness and all the vain things that of this life that drag us down. To be more like Jesus, to do the stuff that he did, to help people know God, to study with people and read and pray for people and spend time with people and guide people towards the Father. That's what we should focus our time and our actions on. Look down in verse 12, this ongoing idea of putting on, because this goes farther through as we go through this. Verse 12 says, put on then. Verse 14, above all these, put on. This is this continual idea that as we are changed, we're transformed already on the inside. And God says, now put on, be transformed, be renovated on the outside continually, on and on and on, until you look exactly like Jesus. So if God's children are transformed, and because of that, we can and we should live like transformed people, what's the application from this? Isn't it to live in the transformation that God has already done in us, to live in the transformation that God works in people that he saves? And if you're listening to this morning, you say, okay, I think I'm at the beginning of that. I haven't been transformed. I'm not a Christian. I haven't decided to follow Jesus. I'm listening. I'm hearing. I'm not sure if it's for me. Then the message of this to you is not you are transformed. It's you aren't transformed. You aren't transformed. You are the person that you were before. The old person lives in you because you haven't been transformed by God. That's why when you try to obey God, we try and then you can't anymore, because you can't. You don't have his spirit in you to guide you and to give you the ability to put to death what's old in you. And even when you obey God more than you did before, you can't please God. And that's where that feeling comes inside. It's like, I know there's something that's off. I know what's off, even though I'm trying to be better. And this verse gives you hope. This verse, if you're not a Christian, this verse gives you hope. It says you can be transformed. In the blink of an eye, in a moment, you can become a new person. You can repent and you can be baptized. And you can give yourself to Jesus. You can decide to follow him. You can accept him as your Savior and Lord. And when you're ready to do that, you say, I don't know everything I'm supposed to do. Well, that's what the rest of the life is for. It's to continue being transformed. But when you're ready to say, Jesus, I want you to be the boss of me, and I will follow you, and I'll do what you say, and I'll read this and hear what you say, and then I'll do it. And you're ready to make that decision in this community, tell someone. You can repent. You can be baptized. This is normally where I gesture and say, It's always full of water, always ready to go. It's not right now, and we should thank Jim sometime. Probably not right now, because this is, we're talking about something else. But Jim does so much work to keep that full of water and ready for people to be born again. But anyway, it's not right now, because it's broken. But there are other places with water in Lincoln. Especially, just look outside, right? There's plenty of water. So when you are ready to make that decision, tell someone. You can repent. We'll find water. You can be baptized. If you're a Christian, okay, what's this saying to you and I? Live like the transformed person you are. You are transformed. So, question. What's that sin that you've always had, that's always just been part of who you are, that you really just don't have any hope that it's ever going to be different? I know I'm supposed to change. I don't get how this is going to ever change in me. I've been a Christian for years. That's never going to be different. This is who I am. So I'll read those verses and say, yeah, I should, and I know I'm not going to. What is that for you? This passage we read today calls us to do two things. One, to believe that I am a transformed child of God, and then to put on the new on the outside, to renovate that, to change that, to live like the transformed person that God says I am on the inside, to live, not in everything, in that one thing that the Spirit is convicting you of. Yeah, this is something on the outside of you that doesn't match what's on the inside. And you say, yeah, but I don't know how to, you're new on the inside. In that one thing, that's what we're being called to say. I'm going to let God, and I'm going to work with God. I'm going to follow Him, and with the power that He gives me, I'm going to renovate that. So, another question. What do you need to change to live more like the transformed person you actually are? And would you promise, would you commit, would you make between you and God a commitment that you're going to do that? You're going to battle in that area, and you're going to let Him transform that part of the outside of you so it matches the transformed person you are on the inside. That's what I think we're called to do in this verse. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we'll sing. God, we come to You, and we thank You because You are so good, and You're so kind, and You're loving, and thank You, God, for not just telling us what You want us to do, but then explaining to us how we can actually do that and giving us this hope, that this promise that we are new and changed and transformed on the inside if we're Your children. If we're not, we can be. And then because we're new, that's why we can live like new people. So God, I pray that when we go home today, we start the rest of the week, that, and then that thing comes up and it's just like, this is how I always feel and how I always react and what I always do, and that it would just, oh, that Your Spirit would, in those moments, that You would convict us, and You would remind us, and You would lovingly remind us that we are transformed people, and that we would live like new people in that area of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.